The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We won that election.
Al Gore won the election.
Al Gore was elected president of the United States. Right. This wasn't counted.
You know it. I know it. They know it. We won that election.
There is overwhelming evidence that George W. Bush did not win this election.
Do you think Republicans stole that election?
In 2000, I wish the United States Supreme Court had let them finish counting the votes.
The Supreme Court denied the actual and accurate counting of the votes of Florida.
If Catherine Harris, Jeb Bush, Jim Baker, and the Supreme Court hadn't tampered with the results, Al Gore would be president.
An election has been stolen, robbed.
It wasn't a fair process. It wasn't a neutral process. It was a process that was rigged against us.
We actually won the last presidential election, folks. They stole the last presidential election.
As we look at our election system, I think it's fair to say that there are many legitimate questions about its accuracy, about its integrity.
How are you going to keep it from us being able to be in a position where you can manipulate the machines, manipulate the records?
In Virginia, when I was governor, I had to replace all the machines.
Too many voters have cast votes on machines that jam or malfunction or suck the votes without a trace.
I kept voting in the Senate race, kept voting for the Democrat, Republican name kept coming up. Three times that happened.
How many other votes did the computers get wrong?
I brought in some technology experts. They were able to hack into our machines from off-site in about 5 or 6 minutes, and within 4 minutes, they were able to change a vote.
The legitimacy of any president that's elected is going to be impaired unless the American people understand that there has been a full and fair count of all the votes.
We will continue to object to the election procedures until they are corrected.
The objection is in writing, and I don't care that it is not signed by a member of the Senate.
It is our duty to challenge this vote.
It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too.
I would be standing here saying this no matter what the outcome of the election.
That's put together by our friends at Grabian, the Democrats contesting. If you think about how many Republicans have we had since 1992, it would be just George Bush and then, of course, Donald Trump. And they've rejected the results of both of those elections or both of those presidents. They see them both as illegitimate. That's a montage of people, politicians, big name Democrats, who did not accept the results of the 2000 election between Bush and Gore. It was illegitimate. All the votes weren't counted. There was cheating. My father said, following that scandal, and he said, anyone familiar with the history of the 90s knows that there were lots and lots of scandals in the White House during the Clinton years. But my father said this in December of 2000, the Florida vote scandal will poison our political system more than any scandal of the past 8 years. It was poisonous. The vote scandal, it eclipses all of those scandals. The corrosive process is so deeply entrenched, it will continue from one election to the next. It's tearing our political system apart. That's from 2000, the December 2000 trumpet. Well, we'll have a lot more to say about elections from this week, elections from last year at this time, coming up on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, not brought to you by Pfizer, thankfully. The Trumpet Daily, we send it out live, the live audio stream every day on CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. The video version of this stream, this program, this broadcast, that's offered exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live And you can get to the live stream of this every weekday morning or afternoon or wherever you are around the world, depending upon your time zone. You can get to the live stream and also to the programs that we post after the fact, allowing you to listen live or listen at your own leisure on demand. So think about this for a moment. The Democrat Party, they invented the big lie following the Bush v. Gore presidential election in the year 2000. George W. Bush was illegitimate, and also Hitler, by the way. They made comparisons to Hitler all through the Bush years. And then, of course, when Trump came along years later, then they loved George Bush. I mean, they loved John McCain. They loved all these Republican candidates for president, these Republican presidents. They revise the history as they go. So then they trot out this big lie again in 2016. And they were using the deep state to drum it up, John Brennan and the like, to say that the Russians not only tampered with the election, they influenced it or moved it in the direction of Donald Trump. And so for years, we heard that Trump wouldn't have won without Russian help. And then they were able to even arrest a couple of people on Facebook to prove their case. That's right. Cheating. They didn't accept Donald Trump. They didn't accept him. And so to prepare to make sure that this didn't happen again, they worked all through the Trump years to pull off the greatest election steal in American history. That happened just last year. And guess what? Anyone who would dare say that, anyone who would dare say that they stole it, well, they're spewing the big lie. They need to be targeted. They need to be arrested. Indeed, a lot of them have been arrested. 650 that were at that protest on January 6th. And what was their big beef? That the election was stolen. I played this montage for you yesterday. The big lie. I mean, who is the one? Which party is actually going on and on nonstop with a big lie? This is clip 6.
We're told that, you know, Goebbels and the great lie, you keep repeating the lie, repeating the lie. There are decent people out there who actually believe these lies because they've heard it again and again. You say it and say it and say it and say it. The degree to which it becomes corrosive is in direct proportion of the number of people who say it.
Big lie.
The big lie.
Big lie.
The 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 big lie.
This big lie.
The big lie.
The big lie.
This big lie.
Big lie.
The big lie.
The big lie.
Big lie.
The big lie.
The big lie.
The big lie.
Big lie.
The big lie.
Big lie.
The 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 reason we wanted to play that for you again, here again, coming back to Revelation 10 and 2 Corinthians 4, John 8, verse 44. The devil is guilty of what he accuses you of. And so there they are accusing anyone that would dare say that last year's election was rigged because of all of the mail-in voting, the ballot dumps in the middle of the night, the shenanigans that went on, like the supposed water main break and so on. Five states together stopping the count. And then we awaken the next morning, November 4th, a year ago today, and suddenly Joe Biden had jumped into the lead. That happened in New Jersey this week. We'll get to that a little bit later. But Donald Trump is right when he says that the actual big lie is that last year's presidential election was perfect. It was the most secure in history. That's the big lie. And there they are, just repeatedly going on about what they see as the big lie that anyone would dare question the results from last year. Just think about this for a moment. Again, you have to go back to what was happening 10, 11 months ago when all of these hundreds and hundreds, thousands by the end of it, when you added up all the different states, Rudy Giuliani going to speak before these state legislatures in Arizona, out at Maricopa County, in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. And affidavits piled high. People that saw cheating. People that saw it. People that testified to it under the penalty of perjury. The ballot dumps. The dead people. The dead people who voted in the election. The thousands of people that sent in a ballot with the same address or the same birthday. The 102-year-olds from Wisconsin. All of this that went on, and we're 1 year on from it, and not one indictment or arrest for election fraud. Not even one. The only people that have been arrested are the ones who've protested the election, the integrity of the election. 650 of them, political prisoners rotting away in that Washington, D.C. jail. But not one person? There's not one person guilty of election fraud? Well, Chris Krebs must have been right then, I guess. It was just perfect. Everything about it, so say these Democrats, everything about it was perfect. You know, last year at this time was significant for a number of reasons. The media has always been corrupt and left-wing to a degree, but what we saw last year with everyone jumping on the bandwagon to get Donald Trump out of the White House, including many conservative voices, organizations. That was some kind of a turning point. Have we ever seen something so blatantly fraudulent just go absolutely unmentioned? You can't even bring it up? I mentioned to you the other day the clip from Newt Gingrich. He has the courage to say it on Fox, but let me tell you, when he brings it up, I mean, Hannity goes silent. Brett Baer starts getting a little bit uneasy in his chair. He's uncomfortable. They don't want to go there. They can't go there. It's like the elephant in the room. Everyone knows it happens. Gingrich says, if it's close, well, the Democrats will win because they'll cheat. So perhaps even from this past week, what we witnessed was a race that just wasn't close enough to steal in Virginia, but the one in New Jersey certainly was. And wouldn't you know it, another late night ballot dump. That's right. But you can't question this. You can't bring this up on Fox or any of the mainstream organizations, media arms. Just in trying to report to you what's happened in Maricopa County or in Pennsylvania or Fulton County, it's a real challenge. What happened? All those affidavits? I mean, you would think someone would... Anyone would at least have the curiosity. There's a few exceptions, I know. Peter Navarro, he's written about it. And there's obviously some sources like Steve Bannon and others that know it was fraudulent through and through. But they are rare, and they're certainly not anywhere near the mainstream. But you have to work hard just to get one article or two about the fraud. And there was evidence all over the place. Rudy Giuliani produced it. So did Jenna Ellis. But they went after the messengers, the communist left. They went after Rudy instead of actually investigating the evidence. Judges wouldn't do it. Law enforcement officers wouldn't look into it. Most politicians could care less. The media, of course, they covered it up. I mean, right together with the montage of the big lie, big lie, big lie. We've played ones before that say no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. And on they go as they ignore the evidence that's right there in front of them. New Jersey, you look at what happened on Tuesday night. And here again, the challenger, the Republican, Cittarelli or something. I have his name here later in the... He's a virtual unknown. Came out of nowhere, pretty much like Youngkin in Virginia. Going up against the radical communist leftist leader, Phil Murphy. And you get deep into the night on Tuesday, and then the counts stop. The precincts stop reporting. And then you have another flip in the biggest county. The county that... the challenger was leading in all the way up until they said 100 precincts, 100% reporting. It's done. It's over. We've got the final numbers. And then deep into the night, all in the media, they go to sleep. And suddenly all the precincts weren't reported. And we've got more ballots that showed up. This is from NorthJersey.com. It says, in Patterson, just gives you a rundown on what was happening in some of these counties. In Patterson, those new voting machines caused complications. In five election districts, officials could not count ballots because they accidentally locked the machines and needed to get a court order to gain access. In Essex County, 56 districts did not count votes in Newark, East Orange, Irvington, Maplewood, and Montclair due to poll worker error, according to Christopher Durkin. Further on, it says, as a protective measure, vote by mail-in ballots can't legally be counted until Election Day. Ballots postmarked on November 2nd that arrive by November 8th will be counted. So they could, today's the 4th. So the media, they call the race, what, last night on the 3rd? And there's more, presumably there's more ballots that are going to keep rolling in. I mean, it shouldn't even be allowed. Technically, you could sit there on election day, watch the results, and then I guess hurry and get a ballot in as long as it gets in by the 8th. All of these rules that are just tweaked and tampered with. We're in the COVID era after all. I mean, we have to kind of make it up as we go. I mean, this is destroying the integrity of American democracy. That's what's happening. All this mail-in ballot, just lies and cheating all over the place. And yet not one person. Maybe I can remember somebody that was involved in tampering last year in Texas or somewhere. Outside of that, all those swing states, all those swing counties, there have been a few people that have been fired. A few people that have quit, I think I can think of some in Fulton County, election officials that the state officials knew. They knew they were bad. But what about the indictments? Nothing. We just need to arrest the people that protested the election. That's what we need to do. And boy, they're doing it. The DOJ, they've got hundreds of them in jail. Don't you dare talk about this. That's why Brett Baer gets a little uneasy. Now, be careful. Don't go too far down the election steal street. It says here in Union County, poll workers in a handful of towns did not properly remove thumb drives from machines. I mean, this is just a report on all of the human error that's possible. And that happened, by the way. Sussex County Clerk Jeffrey Parrott said the county's voting machines are older and can't integrate the early voting numbers into what they gather on election day. It's like running two separate elections, he said. Every year, it's a new odyssey. This year, early voting is in its infancy. Last year was mostly paper ballots. Our results probably came in 2 hours quicker last year, also because our volume and voter turnout was just much higher this year. It says, finally, the problem is that each county is not counting the votes consistently like in past elections. Let me repeat this. The problem is that each county is not counting the votes consistently like in past elections. So it's kind of every man doing what seems right. Every county doing what seems right. And more of these bigger counties, Democrat machines, all of them, they're announcing that, hey, we're going to not have our results till late in the night. Fairfax County tried that on Tuesday. They're in Virginia. That's the heart of the deep state. It must have been quite the landslide if they couldn't have pulled off the steal in Virginia, of all places. But nobody was really paying much attention to New Jersey. And so you have the late night ballot drop off, just like in those Rust Belt states, Michigan, Wisconsin, started showing up in the dark of night. I'm not sure if Biden went to New Jersey, but I know Obama did. So Obama, he went to Virginia to stump for Terry McAuliffe. Then he goes to New Jersey to stump for Murphy. I mean, they knew. They knew they were in trouble. Virginia supposedly went to Biden by 10 points last year. New Jersey by 16 points. The fact that the race was even close, it indicates what one commentator was honest enough to admit. It was a bloodbath for the Democrats. But they're sure not going to let go of New Jersey as well as Virginia, even leading up to the election. Virginia was the one getting all the news because of the parents that were so angry at those school board meetings. This was Joe Biden. I played part of this yesterday where he was saying, yep, we're going to get a victory in Virginia and New Jersey too. Clip four.
We're going to win. I think we're going to win in Virginia. I think we're going to win New Jersey as well.
I think we're going to win in New Jersey as well, he said later on. So you go to New Jersey on Tuesday night. Biden crushed it there last year. Murphy's up by an average of 8 points coming into Tuesday night. And then, as I say, the challenger, his name is Jack Cittarelli, he was up all across the state, even in Bergen County, however you pronounce it, the largest county. Every single website Tuesday night, I forget the exact time, but they had Bergen County at 100% reported. And then come Wednesday morning, well, there were about 50 or 60,000 more votes that showed up. And Murphy, I think he only won by 10 or 20,000. But Cittarelli's up the entire evening. He's leading the race in New Jersey. And we wake up Wednesday morning, just like we woke up Wednesday morning a year ago, and thought, what? They made up 600,000 votes in Pennsylvania? Yes, it happened again. Are you hearing about it at all this week? Probably not. That makes people over at the Fox News Network very uncomfortable. Don't talk about the election steal. Don't talk about voter fraud. Unless it's 2000 or 2016. But other than that, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. I mean, like I played for you yesterday, they told us going into last year, they told us how they were going to do it. And then they did it. And then people were silenced. Listen again to the Red Mirage montage, clip five.
Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances, because I think this is going to drag out, and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
The reason we talk about a red mirage is, in fact, because we believe that on election night, we are going to see Donald Trump in a stronger position than the reality actually is. When every legitimate vote is tallied and we get to that final day, which will be someday after election day, it will, in fact, show that what happened on election night was exactly that, a mirage. It looked like Donald Trump was in the lead, and he fundamentally was not.
That there's nothing illegitimate about taking a few extra days or even weeks in order to make sure that all the votes get counted.
On election night, Donald Trump will be ahead significantly in a majority of states, including the swing states that will decide the election. Then over the next few days, mail-in ballots will be counted and the numbers could shift in Joe Biden's favor. But will Trump accept that outcome?
It's after the advisors come and the media tells them, look, you're not going to get enough votes to be able to hit that magic number of 270 electoral college votes. So what if a losing candidate simply refused to concede? What if there is no concession speech?
Under no scenario will Donald Trump be declared a victor on election night. And we think that that's really fundamental to how we want to approach tomorrow.
It's amazing to me how confident they were in their plan. They had it all worked out. The commentators, the reps for the Biden-Harris campaign, the media, everybody, Van Jones, Fareed, that guy from CNN, he just explained it exactly how it unfolded. Yeah, he's going to be ahead, but then Biden's going to come back and win, and then Donald Trump's not going to accept it. Donald Trump's going to say, you stole it. They knew what they were going to do. You have to give them credit. They had a good plan. It wasn't lawful, of course. It wasn't constitutional. But they had a devious, evil plan. It was a plot from the beginning. I mean, you could go back to 2016 and 17 to the gain of function and the any restrictions that Obama just lifted off of that so that Peter Daszak and Fauci could do their thing with the Wuhan lab. And then Fauci practically vowed that there's going to be a pandemic during Trump's presidency. And that, of course, cleared the way for mass mail-in ballots. Mail-in voting. And were you paying attention to as soon as Joe Biden, the fake president, was inaugurated in January? Well, one of the very first things the Democrats wanted to do is to make it law. The way we had the election run last year, that's got to go through Congress. And this is the way we're going to do an election from here on out. And to put up any kind of resistance to that, or to just go back to 2019, was seen as racist. You're trying to stop the black vote, they said to the Georgia legislature. This has been an evil plot from the very beginning. And as I say, one full year after, not one person. Now, even for small-time fraud, you know, just maybe for a few hundred people here and there. I mean, we've had video. We've had video of people that have had fraudulent ballots in the backseat of their car, even. Look at this one from this week. This was from election night in New Jersey. And true, it just affects, it's just one person at issue here. But listen to these election officials and how they're reasoning with this one guy who says, yeah, I come from Ireland. Can I vote? I mean, is this a joke? Are you serious? Of course you can't. But listen to how it went down. Clip 8.
In the election in January of last year?
The presidential. Yeah.
And did you register?
No, I wasn't registered either.
Are you registered now?
Oh, I never filled anything out. No.
Okay, then I can't see how you can vote because you're not registered.
Remember, we was allowing anybody to come in.
But I don't know if it works because I'm an Irish citizen. I'm not.
It doesn't matter. I mean, do you have some citizenship here?
With the work visa, yeah.
Listen, we'll let you do it. They'll figure that out.
Do you have some citizenship? As if there's kind of a partial kind of citizen. I mean, you're either a U.S. citizen or not. And he said he wasn't. He just has a work visa. Oh, well, they'll figure that out. Not a problem. Not a big deal. You know what? Sam pointed this out this morning. You know who's probably going to be prosecuted or arrested from that scene you saw right there? Probably the Irish guy. Because he exposed the incompetence. He exposes the lawlessness. Where are the rules and the regulations? I mean, these are people, the ones that want it to be as easy and open like that for just anyone to show up and cast a ballot. These are the same people, just like Phil Murphy in New Jersey, who wants to implement a vaccine passport, a mandatory vaccine passport. You can't function in the state of New Jersey. Not like a normal citizen, unless you've got this passport ID showing that you've taken the jab. And yet, look at how they run elections. Well, you think there's anyone that's going to ever be arrested for voter fraud? Doesn't seem like it. You look at the lead up to this election. You look at what the radical left has been imposing on these blue states, and people are fed up. That's why, like I said yesterday, they brought out the big guns. They brought out Obama. Obama's legacy is on the line here. So it might be that Virginia was the head fake. Either that or they just didn't have enough fraudulent ballots to make up the difference. But they did their thing. The Democrat machine did their thing in New Jersey. This Edward Durr, you may have seen this story. This was I think he's a truck driver. He's going up against the president, the New Jersey State Senate president. So there was a race. There were a few smaller races, but the state president in the New Jersey Senate, I mean, that's like, as I understand it, that's like the second highest ranking politician in the state behind Governor Murphy. And some guy who said, well, I'm going to run against him. Nobody ever runs against this guy. And he's hurting our state. And people they're moving out of the state. New Jersey's got the highest taxes in all of the United States. And people are leaving, just like they're leaving California. So this truck driver, he says, I'm going to run against this president of the New Jersey Senate. He puts $153 toward his campaign. And he wins! He wins. What does that tell you about the Senate? Do you think the Democrats knew from internal polling coming into Virginia, New Jersey? Do you think they knew that a political earthquake was about to happen? You think all of a sudden they're going to stop cheating? Look at what they got away with last year. Listen to this truck driver who I guess he's now going to be running the Senate there in New Jersey. This is clip three.
Ed, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get to the Capitol in Trenton?
I really don't know. That's the key factor. I don't know what I don't know, so I will learn what I need to know. And I'm going to guarantee you one thing. I will be the voice and people will hear me.
Now, the elites, obviously, they're going to mock that guy. But that's a moment of honesty that you don't get much of in politics today. What's the first thing you're going to do? I don't really know. I got to get in there, I guess, and figure out how the process works. But good for him. Good for him. He takes some action. He put out a little cheesy political ad video getting on his Harley Davidson. He's just a regular guy who's grown up in New Jersey, and he's sick of it. He's sick of government and what they're doing to the people. And he wins. Shockingly, he wins. Not so shockingly, so does Phil Murphy. They're not going to let go of New Jersey as well as Virginia. Even still, you look right across the country. McAuliffe finally did concede the other night. You had an election for the New York City, I think, mayoral race. He's a Democrat, but he comes from law enforcement, so you would think he would be more inclined to crack down on crime. There was a measure up for vote in Minneapolis to basically get rid of the police, to turn the police, to replace police department with a public safety department. And that went down in flames, that measure, by a large majority. I think it was 56% of people around Minneapolis who said, no, of course we don't want to get rid of the police. But Ilhan Omar, AOC, I mean, this is the kind of legislation or ballot measures or votes that they love to see because they want to get rid of the police, except the Capitol Hill police, so they can kill Trump supporters. But besides that, they want to get rid of the police. Then you have the socialist running for mayor in Buffalo. She loses. I think it was a she. In any event, another race. Pretty revealing. You've got races coming out of Seattle, Washington as well. Deep, deep blue. And yet you've got moderates or else more conservative thinkers that are winning races, or law enforcement is winning at the ballot box. Because people even in the inner city, they know that it's insane It's insane to get rid of the police department and to replace it with the public safety department. So it was a bloodbath the other night, even with the cheating that they get away with, that's the cheating that's typical. It was still a bloodbath, and yet you listen to these top-level Democrats yesterday. I mean, they're not this doesn't set them back at all the way they view it. Listen to this reporter asking a question of the fake president. This is clip 10.
What's your message, though, for Democratic voters, especially Black voters, who see Republicans running on race, education, lying about critical race theory, and they're worried that Democrats don't have an effective way to push back on that?
Well, I think that the whole answer is just to speak the truth, lay out where we are. Look, I'm convinced that if you look at everything from my view on criminal justice system to my view on equal opportunity to my view on economic issues and all the things that I have and what I've been pushing in legislation, each of the elements are overwhelmingly popular.
He's convinced that all of his issues, his agenda, is overwhelmingly popular. You could have 100 Virginias happen, and he'd say this, the exact same thing you just heard there. He believes that he is, well, he got 81 million votes. You go back to root causes, right? No one confronts it. It's like Sam and I were discussing the other day. You have all these commentators on the right now that see these disastrous policies, what's happening at the border, what's happening to the economy, what's happening at our port facilities, what's happening abroad. And they are denouncing this fake, illegitimate president at every turn. But where were they on November 4th, 2020? That's when they pulled off the biggest fraud of all. Tells you a little bit of something about confronting the devil and his demonic influence. You have to stand against it. If you give an inch, they'll help themselves to a mile. Listen to one more exchange yesterday, clip 11.
I just think people are at a point, and it's understandable, where there's a whole lot of confusion.
So that's how he justifies what happened this week. People are just, look, my policies are overwhelmingly popular. It's just that people are a little bit confused. So I guess it's kind of a matter of just messaging a little bit, making it a little bit clearer. It's delusional thinking. You think they're huddling together behind closed doors and enjoying some introspective type considerations and thinking and meditations? Do you think they're revising their agenda? At the conservative treehouse, it says here, Democrats will not stop their march into madness. Modern leftists have no capacity for introspection. They will get worse. He says here, the problem with modern Democrats is that they believe in what they're doing. They believe in the fundamental transformation. Nothing's going to stop them. Nothing's going to slow them down unless you challenge them, unless you fight them at every turn. It says here, do not fool yourself into believing the election outcome will cause Democrats to pause in their efforts. The radical leftists who now control Democrat policy priorities do not have any inclination to reverse course. Instead, they will double down. And that's what we heard yesterday coming from Joe Biden right on down the line. They are doubling down. They're doubling down. Listen to these two politicians in this next short montage, clip 9.
Mayor McAuliffe has been saying for weeks that his fate was tied to the progress of negotiations here on Capitol Hill. And there ought to be a clear message to my party and all those who support it to get the job done.
Senator, what went wrong last night?
Failure to deliver. Congress has to deliver. Windows closing. We have no more time. We need to get it done.
Two prominent Democrats, Dick Durbin and Blumenthal. And what's their takeaway from the bloodbath for Democrats on Tuesday night? We got to get these these communist socialist policies through. We've got to get these trillion-dollar packages through Congress. That's what. That's the lesson. That's the takeaway. They're not going to miss it. If anything, they're looking at this as an opportunity to ram harder. That's right. And Conservative Treehouse makes that point in a powerful way. It says here, the modern political left do not view rejection as a rebuke of their ideology. Instead, they view rejection as a need to push harder. From their perspective, they need to re-educate their target to force a change in thinking from incorrect thoughts to correct thoughts, and the only acceptable path is to push harder. This is pretty insightful here. It's almost like something we would have written in the Trumpet magazine back in the early 1990s. Considering what we were going up against in this satanic movement, this falling away from the truth, and then we came face to face with that spirit during the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages. Just a demonic spirit. And if you didn't stand against it, well, Satan will devour you. It says here, this approach is based on a cognitive inability to reflect or contemplate that their ideology is flawed. From the perspective of the modern political left, if they were to change direction, they would be rejecting the foundation of their own personal value. They can't do that. It's not them that are wrong, ever. It's you. They're not wrong, even when they're embarrassed at the ballot box that they couldn't quite stuff full of fraudulent ballots. Even when they're embarrassed politically, they just push harder. They believe. They believe in their cause. And Donald Trump found out in 2016 that not a lot of Republicans do. Not enough to fight for it anyway. My father has this brilliant section in the Last Hour book about those who were neutral during the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages. The ones that just stayed out of the fight. They didn't want to come on the side of the Tekachas. They didn't want to come on the side of the Philadelphia Church of God. So they were right in the middle. And as my father said in that book, if you're in the middle, if you're neutral, you're with the enemy. You're with the devil. The devil's got you right where he wants you. It says, those who do not adhere to the insane ideological goals of the far left are viewed as the problem that must be overcome. Listen to this. It's another montage of the talking heads on all the cable shows. This was their takeaway from the bloodbath on Tuesday night, clip one.
Glenn Youngkin played the race card for a reason, because he knows it works on certain white voters.
He did stoke white grievance politics to mobilize the Republican base.
He's laundered Trump's really sort of disgusting, flagrant out-racism. Yep. He's wrapped it in education.
Yep. Education, right. Which is code for white parents don't like the idea of teaching right. about race.
That's the fundamental problem for these parents and this anti-CRT movement. They don't like the way whiteness is being portrayed in these new, more inclusive lessons.
Yeah. This wasn't about those pocketbook issues. This was about how white kids feel talking about what black kids go through.
The subtext of all this was, we can't let these black and brown people run the country.
Glenn Youngkin running on critical race theory that he knew hit a chord around race.
I think all the CRT stuff is trumped up dog whistling.
Some of it was dog whistle racism.
The dog whistle messaging that you saw Youngkin engage in during the course of the campaign.
CRT is in the latest line of school busing, crosstown busing, welfare queens, you have it. It's in that same line, and you saw it in the results in Virginia.
This more palatable Republican who still uses the same racist themes that Trump did, he just packaged them in a soccer dad sweater vest model.
He's found a way to launder a pretty racist trope, this idea that we cannot talk about America's history because it hurts my feelings. He's turned that into a campaign.
White voters do have anxiety mm-hmm. about a changing America, right? That it is blacker, it is browner.
You've got the Republicans yelling like, hey, look, the black and brown folks are coming for us.
Some Republican candidates are perfectly willing to use race as a motivating factor for their base. That has gone on for decades, and it happened this year.
Race is just the most palpable tool in the toolkit used to be of the Democratic Party back right. in the day when there were Dixiecrats, and now of the Republican Party.
This is about the fact that a good chunk of voters out there are okay with white supremacy. Let's call a thing a thing. Actually, scratch that. They are more than okay.
Does that sound to you like they've been humbled or chastened by their bad showing on Tuesday night? Not at all. Not at all. The problem is you. It's not them. They don't need to learn any lessons from this. It's as if Virginia, which Biden supposedly won by 10 points last year, 12 months ago, Virginia was reliably progressive, overwhelmingly supportive of Biden, just deep, dark blue. Now, 12 months later, they're racist. They're all racist. They just want white supremacy. They just want whites in power. I mean, this is news coverage, or what passes for it. This is their reaction. And you heard the reaction of the politicians. No, our policies are popular. They're overwhelmingly popular. Yunkin won because we didn't get the $5 trillion infrastructure bill through. If we would have gotten that through, Terry McAuliffe would have pulled it out. It's because of your infrastructure bill and all of your other insane policies that there was a red wave and it was too big to overcome on Tuesday night. And so that's what they resort to. Everybody's a racist. The conservative treehouse piece. It says, you, the person or group who stands in their way, will always be viewed as the problem. See, that's what you heard there in that montage. The problem is not with the Democrats or their policies. No, you're the problem. It says here, arguing with a political leftist in the hope they can be convinced to change direction is futile. They are disassociated on a mental and emotional level from any semblance of a capacity to consider they may be wrong. They just can't do it. They're incapable of admitting they're wrong. Herbert Armstrong used to say that's the hardest thing for human nature to do, especially so with such a satanic movement. It says here, this is why you can never let up in the fight against them. Even in victory, the blue-collar, working-class, common-sense approach must be relentless. The modern left has to be destroyed on such a scale as their dangerous ideology is reduced to burning embers. However, do not trick yourself into believing it will ever be fully extinguished. Don't fool yourself into thinking they'll ever give up. They'll ever lie down. They won't. Says history has taught us that even when the professional political left are seemingly wiped out, enough will remain waiting for another Obama-type personality to blow them gently into a state of reignition, and the cycle will start again. See, Obama comes along in 2008, and people swooned. An angel of light, as he vowed to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And that transformation continues. Tuesday's loss only makes them push that much harder. It says, right now, as you read this, in the background of every place they gather, those political activists who were handed a resounding defeat yesterday are discussing how to attack again. In defeat, you can fully expect this insane crowd to become even more entrenched, even more vitriolic, even more crazy. You'll see it with even bigger demands on their big tech allies to crush voices of communication against the enemy. Against their enemy. He's, as I say, spot on. Further on, I'm almost finished here. He just has a few remarks about Donald Trump right at the end. He says, candidate Donald Trump knew the Republican Party was incapable of succeeding because they did not fight for what they claimed to believe. So Trump started to fight for GOP issues, visibly fight against the ideological left with common sense promises, policies, and brutally obvious solutions. And that's the approach that Glenn Youngkin took. I think that's his name, first name anyway. That's the approach that he took. And he fought for them. says, we all saw the response from the professionally Republican class in their rebuke of Trump's style of fight, which I must emphasize was the only effective approach to destroying the political left in the past 3 decades. That's why they worked so hard to destroy him. Because he fought back. Because he exposed them. Because he stood for Republican policies and values and he fought for them. There's a big lesson in this that we can take away on the spiritual level. My father in the last hour book, a few quotes just emailed to me, says that most Laodiceans did nothing to help us fight that battle, the battle over mystery of the ages. That may be their single most condemning failure in this end time. They remain neutral in Christ's fight against the Antichrist. They stayed on the sidelines. They didn't have any fight in them. And then you fast forward a few years and look at what we see. Along comes a fighter. And the ones that were neutral, the ones that kept making sacrifices or surrendering to the radical left, the communists, the ones who surrendered to them, all of a sudden they went after the Republican who actually fought. Neutrality just opens you up for being devoured by the devil. It says here, Satan can delay our work by getting men to fight against it. And even those Laodiceans who only passively resist God's message make Satan's work a lot easier. See, the Never Trumpers, they do the same thing, don't they? They just make the devil's work a whole lot easier. My father had a piece back in 1994. He said, one little step in the direction of Satan can turn into a massive rebellion unless that compromise is quickly realized and repented of. We can't even go one step in that direction. That's what Sundance is bringing out in this post at Conservative Treehouse. He says, conversely, Democrats do believe their message, even when that message is fundamentally toxic to the survival of this nation. Democrats believe in what they are doing, and they will never retreat from doing it. The modern political left is intent on destroying the foundation of this nation. That's right. Obama said so. That's their mission. And this fight must be viewed through the urgency of a prism where we accept this as a zero-sum game. He says, finally, accepting this dynamic is why I have warned repeatedly not to invest too heavily in the outcome of the Virginia race. No time to celebrate, says Sundance. No time for any kind of celebration. We've got to fight. And you see it in New Jersey. They lost a fight there, and they're not even going to contest it. They're not even going to investigate it, most likely. They won't audit it. No, just move on. Hey, let's worry about the next election. It says, finally, you cannot comply your way out of a tyranny any more than you can negotiate your way out of the gallows. If you are considered the enemy of the modern leftist movement, they will seek your destruction. The only way to fight this adversary is with brutal hand-to-hand combat where you never, ever concede an inch. Pretty insightful article at Conservative Treehouse. And a battlefield that we in God's church are quite familiar with, that's for sure. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you haven't subscribed already to The Trumpet Magazine, I gave you some quotes, some old quotes from 94, 2000 on the election, the Bush v. Gore election. Make sure that you subscribe. It's totally free. It's already been paid for by others who sacrifice for this work. Just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Email the program too, thetrumpet.com or td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.